on the line with us right now. I couldn't wait to talk to him, and I owe him a date on his podcast as well. He is a political commentator, a podcast host, and a Democratic strategist who helped Bill Clinton win the presidency in 1992. Please welcome to Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Mr. James Carville. What's going on, James? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm good, brother. I'm in Manhattan, and we had some meetings here, and I'm fired up. We had a good night in Texas. I think we got some good sports events coming up, and getting excited about the NBA playoffs. We get to big tournament.
Well, listen. I always appreciate your time. Let's get right to it, though, because sure. Your time is precious. There's a lot at stake for Democrats in the state of Texas, so we're going to get to that. You saw James Tallarico beat Jasmine Crockett 52.8% to 45.9%. What did that race tell you, and why did you term it a good night?
Okay, let's back up. The first thing is you should read tonight G. Elliott Morris. And he'll tell you, he'll walk through numbers. You know how these guys do in sports. You know, we know the old playing field. They know the arcane stuff.
Sure.
It was a big night. First of all, more Democrats voted in the Democratic primary and voted in the Republican primary. That does not happen in Texas. Maybe not in this country. So that's a positive sign. I think Jim is a much better general election candidate than Congressman Crockett would have been.
Because?
Well, she had... She had said that kind of made fun of the governor for being in a wheelchair, and she said that Hispanics
called him Hot Wheels
for Trump. Yeah, and they said Hispanics who voted for Trump had a slave mentality. That's probably not the best way to get these people back, wouldn't you think? So, I mean, she's smart. She's definitely fearless, but I think that Jim was a better general election candidate, and I'm happy he won the primary. And I think he's going to be strong. I think he's got a good story.
You just brought up how early voting for Democrats outpaced Republicans, which obviously don't happen in Texas. How do you keep that momentum going for the midterms, in your estimation?
Well, okay, so but what I'm telling people, Stephen, is you got to look at it. The playing field is now tilted in the favor of Democrats because they have a runoff, and that runoff is not until May the 26th. So you had this big election night. It was, I guess, March the 3rd. And now you got to go all the way to May 26th. Mm. And Cornyn spent $77 million in the first round. So in a television that they're going to be running against each other is going to be brutal. I mean, when I tell you, the Democrats don't know, Republicans, they know how to fight. Okay. Mm. They bring a dirty weapon to a knife fight. They don't just bring a gun. And I'm telling people, send Tallarico money now. And while they're killing each other out there, Jim can go home and say, look, I want to bring Texas together. I want people to treat each other like good Christians and neighbors and just be a goddamn nice guy for between now and May 26th. And they're going to be killing each other. And you're going to be the soothing guy, the young guy, the faith-based candidate. So I think we got a between now and May. And I said, don't send the money in September. Shit, send it now. And while we know this well enough, sports strategy, political strategy, when you're in an advantageous position, you take advantage of the advantageous position. And we're at the Texas Democrats right now are in a position they're not used to, but they're in an advantageous position. And you got to make the best of it. You got to make the best.
Do you believe that Tallarico could actually beat Cornyn or Paxson in a state like Texas, a red state like Texas? You think he could do that?
Well, Stephen, one of the things that people ask me, and it's okay, and I'm fine with that, to predict things. And I said, I'm not, earlier in my career, somebody said, you don't try to predict things. You just try to affect things. Do I think it? Yes. But you say, well, that's James. He's kind of a rah-rah cheerleader Democrat guy. The betting markets, look at this, go and predict it. I think they're close to 50-50. Tallarico was 85 cents on a dollar in the betting markets. All right. Even though the poll data was kind of inconclusive because it's hard to get into it too deep unless you want to. It's hard to poll a primary in a place like Texas.
Okay.
Betting markets I think they're 50-50. I got to look on predicted again. But they're like any betting market. They're a big market, and they're not gonna be, and generally not that far off. So yes, I did. The question is, not only do I think that Talarico can win it, but the markets think he can too.
Let me transition, and we're talking to James Carville, I mean, the man himself right here on Straight Shooter with yours truly. James, I want to talk to you about the other day. I saw you going off a little bit about Representative Omar, where you just told, I believe it was her, you just told her, leave the party. I mean, you know, I want to know where that came from, and when you speak with this level of frustration, can you enlighten us about what exactly it is that you're talking about and what got you so ticked off when it came to something like that?
Thank you. And by the way, I met her one time. And first of all, she's a very attractive, soft-spoken lady. I have a lot of friends in Minneapolis, and a lot of people think well of her. But she started attacking white males. And I'm saying, wait a minute, let's stop. All right. In 2024, 72% of the people that voted were white. All right. That's just a fact. Of that 72, probably 48% or 48.5% were male. So it's somewhere around, I did the math on the thing, about 33% of the people that are going to vote are going to be white males. Mm. Well, it's stupid to attack 33% of the voters.
Right.
That's not, you don't want to start there. You know, what you try to do is you start and you build up. And so what I would say to Congressman Omar, why don't you be a Democratic Socialist of America? Do what AOC did. But don't, mm-hmm. And if they win, the truth of that is I share a lot of ideological issues in common with Congressman Omar, but maybe you should do like a parliamentary government. We'll let you in the governing coalition, but not the electoral coalition. I'm not being facetious. I don't think she'd do that. But we have to get this mentality out that we can win national elections with white people, because you can't, right?
And if I was, oh, without white people, Stephen, because you
yeah,
can't.
Without white,
you,
yes.
You're right.
Yeah, we can somehow or another win an election without white males. It's just insanity. It's literally mathematical insanity, cultural insanity, as anything else.
But James Carville, what about those who will push back on you and say, okay, he's a Republican, he happens to be the president of the United States, and you certainly were recently going off on him. You went the hell off on him a hell of a lot harder than you went off on Representative Omar. Now he's, now I'm saying he has white people, he has white males that love him. All right, what about that? What about people that will look at you and say, come on, James?
Because I'm a white male, I'm different than other people. This is the greatest thing. Is one of the great phrases that people have that I find distasteful is say, a person of color. Well, that means that all non-white people are the same. No, all white people are not the same. All black people are not the same. All Hispanic people are not the same. All right?
Correct.
And I don't like generalizing about someone's gender or their race or their sexual preference or anything else. All gay people are not the same. They're very different personalities, very different values, very different everything. And I just don't like, and I know when people say it, that they're trying to be inclusive in their language, but I don't think they stop and think of what they're telling somebody. All right? That's my issue. I don't think, you know, if I'm going to vote for somebody, because first of all, it's generally the Democrat. If it would have been Crockett, I would have been. No problem. I'm more enthusiastic about being for Jim, but I would have been for her.
James Carville, do you believe, considering the animus, the disgust that the president evokes from so many people, do you believe there is such a thing on the left as Trump derangement syndrome, which is what the right accuses people of? Do you believe that exists?
Can I say something to the people that accuse Please. Democrats of having Trump derangement syndrome? I got it, and I got it bad, and I don't want to get better. I just want to get worse. Okay?
You want to get worse, James?
I don't think that I try to conjure up more distaste for him than I have when I wake up in the morning. It's really hard to do. But this is a condition that I'm not trying to get rid of.
Why not?
Make my disease worse.
Why not? Why, James? Why do you want to make the disease worse? Trump derangement syndrome. Why do you want to make that worse?
Because in my opinion, he doesn't like the United States. He doesn't like our laws. He doesn't like our allies. He doesn't like our treaties. He doesn't like the fact that we're an inclusive country that is built in a large part on immigration. I don't think he, I think he's politicized the Justice Department. I think they're making money hand over foot, like you couldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And I think the guy can't stand the country I love. And if you said, well, capital gains tax, or somebody doesn't think that we should have affirmative action. Like, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to tell you that I think you hate America. I think you got some bad priorities. I don't think Trump likes the United States.
Okay.
That is what I think.
How do you feel about people who say the same thing about the left because of some of the stuff that we were seeing with woke culture, cancel culture, identity politics, etc.? What about that?
Well, you're not going to find anybody more anti-cancel culture than James Carville. And I thought I was the first person to speak, a Democrat to speak up for wokeness, and I was quickly corrected. It was my friend Al Sharpton. Mm. First time I said was April 27th, 2021. And I said, this stuff is killing us. And I'm going to tell you what happened, Stephen, and you'll relate to this. Yeah, I live in New Orleans. And this was in the early part of 2021. You know, we still had the kind of woke culture. We had a backup of pandemic. So I was in the grocery store and they had a black church lady, you know, yes. Kind of 60 years old, probably, you know, was a little overweight. And I gave her a fist bump. And she said, boy, don't give me no goddamn fist bump. Put your arm around me and give me a hug. And I said to myself, you know, people, that's the way people want to live. If they come up and they see you, and yet we were so scared to touch anybody because they're going to go to HR and report us for her. And she said, well, don't put your goddamn fist bump, put your arm around me. It dawned on me, that's the way people want to live. Yeah, if I see you, I want to shake your hand, I'll grab your arm. Mm. You know, hey, man, how you doing? How your hammer hanging? What's going on? You know, that's the way people live. And they tried to make us live another way. And I thought I'm right.
But that's your party, though. That's your party.
No, that wasn't. It was 15% of the Democratic Party.
Well, that's what I mean. That's all I mean by that. Meaning it was on the left.
Yeah, I can't. 65% of Republicans believe that January the 6th was a tourist visit. Actually, it was a criminal act against the United States. Yeah, this is a kind of naive, some college professors were sitting around and said, you know, we're going to change the way people talk to each other.
Right.
No, we're not going to do that, lady.
James, let me transition, because while I got you on the subject of the president, I'm talking to you about both parties and how you're feeling. Let me transition to Trump's decision to bomb Iran in concert with Israel. What are your thoughts about that decision? How are you feeling about it?
So I'll walk you through it. So we had Max Boot on our podcast today. He was a big neocon, big Iraq war guy. Is that Iran war? And I said, you know, our experiences about the wars we grew up with. So I was in the Marine Corps during Vietnam. But while I was in there, I figured out there ain't nobody wanted to fight this war. And when I knew it wasn't hopeless is when I was in the barracks and I actually didn't go to Vietnam. And the people that went to Vietnam considered me a hero because I didn't go. And I said, wait, the people that actually fought the war said, man, you don't want to fuck. You lucky son of a bitch. You stay right where you are. And so they called me out in February of 15th of 1968 and said, if you sign, we'll give you $1,700 and make you assault, give you E5, give you another strike if you sign up for two more years. And I told the guard, so I said, Gunny, I ain't signing shit. The guy looked at me. Yeah, he was like a 23-year-old Marine Corps veteran. And he said, I don't blame you, you asshole. Get out of here. I wouldn't sign nothing either. So that's where that war was in 1968. And I thought that the Iraq war was another civil war that we were getting in. We didn't have any interest. We didn't have an opponent. we were trying to change the regime, which, okay, that didn't
Right.
work.
So how do
It's
you
the
feel
same thing that's
now?
happening here. I think it's the same thing. How do you define winning? What is winning? So they went in and they killed Khomeini. Okay, who cares? I mean, I'm not going
Right.
to shed tears for him. They killed all the other people they wanted to be a successor. So what do they think is going to happen? The people around say, well, if these people are bombing the shit out of us, I think we'll elect Franklin Roosevelt or Martin Luther King, our next. No, that's not the way it works.
Well, what about the argument that it can make China now checkmate? Because first, you know what, we did what we did with Maduro and Venezuela, and now we got Iran. So no more cheap oil for Russia. You might have to you or China rather. You might have to deal with us. What about that notion?
It kind of call it's you got to get an all guy. It's an open world market, okay? It's a price on a world market. So you cut off 5% of the world supply, then the world will get supply somewhere else. By the way, it's costing Americans right now at the gas pump. So we're paying you, the American consumer, are paying for this on the hope that you might be able to restrict China's oil supply, which I don't think you're ever going to do. But that's so right now, you're already paying for this war. Then, when you pay for a war, and you say, well, this war, the Iraq war, it costs us trillions of dollars because you're still paying the VA medical care, you're paying for psychiatric care, you're paying for people that have been maimed, wounded. Wars are not things that people should enter lightly. I'm not a pacifist. But I am definitely, I would call myself not a pacifist, but I have a very dovish view about war. And
We gotta get ready to go, but I gotta ask you this question. So
sure.
moving forward, looking at the Democratic Party,
Right.
feeling how you're feeling about what transpired last night in Texas,
Right.
from a national perspective, I've been making the case, there's no definitive leader. Yeah, there's a lot of qualified candidates, people that know politics, that would do a good job if they were in the presidency, but somebody that actually resonate with the masses out there and could beat a Marco Rubio or JD Vance in 2028. That's not what I'm seeing from the Democratic Party. What are you seeing?
Okay, so first of all, you're not going to say that until you have a presidential nomination because a political party without a president is not going to have a message. And by the way, I think the Democrats are going to take the House back. I would think, but I'm not a great predictor, I would think that they're probably going to take the Senate back, but that's not the question here. They're not going to be able to pass anything.
Okay.
But you're going to have eight candidates, and this is what I would say. Like when you look at a draft class, an NBA or NFL or something like that draft class, and you say, man, they got five or six people in this thing, that's going to be impact players right out of the chute. And then sometimes you look at the draft and you say, well, maybe there's one or two that are going to make an impact in their first year. There are seven first round all world draft picks in a Democratic Party running for president. And then we go underneath the presidential level. All right, I mean, Tal Rico, you can see what kind of talent he got. Watch this guy, Rob Sand, in Iowa. When I tell
Okay.
you that he's got, if y'all look at that guy and say, that guy one day has a 5% chance to be a Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. Understand what I'm saying? That's pretty high praise. I mean, that was like, when Ted Williams heard Henry Aaron take batting practice in spring training, he said he got out and wanted to see it because he knew right away,
Okay.
this guy's gonna be fucking
James,
good. Yeah.
I got to get ready to run, man. I got a
So,
commercial break to get to. I thank you
anytime,
so much for your
anytime,
time,
my
and I
dear
appreciate
friend.
it. And I
Thank you,
promise
sir.
I was coming on your podcast, and I will
Can't
be
wait to
there.
talk to you.
I will
Can't
be
wait to
there.
talk to you. All right.
All right, my man. The one and only James Carver right here, political commentator, podcast host, Democratic strategist extraordinaire, helped Bill Clinton win the presidency in 1992, by the way, right here with Straight Shooter with Stephen A. 866-96-POTUS is the number to call. 866-96-POTUS.